I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep us stuck. The mission of Smashing the Plateau is helping solopreneur experts build more stable and consistent recurring revenue in their business. Smashing the Plateau is part of the Best Network, providing expert individual and team mentorship, peer support, and curated educational content that reinforces and expands our goal of the show, helping solopreneur experts get the recurring revenue they deserve. To learn more about us and Best Network and schedule time to speak with me about how to smash your plateau, go to smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. That's smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. Today we have a special episode of Smashing the Plateau. I'm pleased to introduce two guests, Alex Vaisberg and Anna Storitzina. Alex has been in the electrical distribution industry for over 23 years. He's president and CEO of All Industrial Electric Supply, an authorized electrical distribution company he founded in 2004. Most recently, he's CEO of Felsberg, a portfolio support services company. Anna champions meaningful change. At the Opportunity Lab, she concentrates on guiding clients through strategy design in support of their organization's social missions. Alex and Anna, welcome to the show. It's great to have you both on.
Hi, David. Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much. Happy to be here.
So I gave a very short introduction about each of you, and I know one of the things that you have in common is that you are both immigrants to the U.S. I wondered if you could each tell a little bit about both your professional and your personal backgrounds. And Alex, why don't you start?
Yeah, thank you, David. Yeah, my family came here from the Ukraine in 1980. I was 8 years old at the time, and came here with my grandparents, my parents, and my sister and her husband. It was a very different experience as an eight-year-old than it was, I'm sure, for my parents and grandparents. These are people that came here without knowing the language, left everything behind in the former Soviet Union, and really came here like all immigrants for the future of their kids. And at that time, you know, I really didn't appreciate what they were doing for me and for my future kids in particular. But today, as I reflect back on it, I am very, very grateful for having the opportunity to grow up in the United States.
And tell us a little bit more about your professional background, too.
Yeah, I went to school in San Francisco and attended high school and then went to San Francisco State University. Graduated with an international business degree. This was back in 1994, and the economy was not great at that time, you know. And I was out interviewing, looking for different opportunities for work. And coming from a poor family, as I was interviewing for different sales jobs and other kind of jobs, I was offered immediate sales roles, which would pay. At the time, you know, in the $50,000 to $60,000 a year salary range, which for me back then was a tremendous amount of money, a lot more money than my dad had ever made. You know, most he ever made in his career in the United States was about minimum wage. But I was offered an opportunity to work for a company in the electrical distribution business that wasn't going to pay me a lot of money, but it was going to be going into their management training program. And at the time, like I said, the pay was not a lot. I recall to this day, it was about $20,000 a year, but they told me they were going to teach me how to run a business. In 3 years' time, they would teach me everything from accounting to sales to pretty much operations to, you know, everything I needed to know. I always knew I wanted to have my own business someday. So I figured this would be a great opportunity to learn on somebody else's dime. So I went to work for this national distributor, wound up working for them for about 10 years, learned quite a bit, made a lot of mistakes, and had some great successes. And when I was ready, I went and did it on my own.
It sounds great. So it also sounds like as part of accepting that job offer, which was not the highest compensation you were offered, you were making a long-term investment in the way you were thinking and the way you were approaching it, that you weren't looking for kind of the instant gratification of the highest compensation you could get right out of school.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And at the time I had friends, you know, tell me I was crazy to do so. But, you know, within 3 years after I graduated from that management training program, I was making a lot more money than many of my friends who had at the time, you know, did take those kind of sales jobs. So, yeah, it was a long-term thinking. I knew I wanted something more than, you know, just going out and selling things. I wanted to learn really how to run a business and how to really deal with customers in a more strategic way.
Sounds great. And Anna, how about you? Let's tell us a little bit about your story.
Sure. So I moved to New York from Russia when I was 17. So I think that must have been about 20 years after Alex made his move. And I had just graduated high school in St. Petersburg and had an opportunity to come to the States. So I decided to take that opportunity and move. I was by myself. I also didn't speak any English. So it was definitely kind of a quintessential New York immigrant experience of just getting off the plane and figuring it out. I then went to Hunter College of the City University of New York and got my Bachelor's of Science degree in accounting and finance. This was kind of a purely practical choice at that point. I was working as a bartender. I wanted to make sure, as fun as it was, that I had some other options down the line career-wise. I did work my way through college, and then almost right after graduating from my undergrad program, I went and got my MBA at NYU. At that time, I was working for Lehman Brothers, and Lehman Brothers obviously went through bankruptcy and got acquired by Barclays, and so there was a lot of change happening at my job. And I ended up getting very interested in change management and kind of leadership through conflict and through turmoil. And so I got my MBA in change management, which worked out nicely to kind of learn certain things at school as we were going through a financial crisis and apply some of those principles at work. And after having, you know, a great career at Barclays, I ended up transitioning out in order to kind of have my second leg of a career as an external advisor, as a strategy consultant for clients such as Alex, and really help them navigate change and have kind of a slightly different focus on how we can navigate that change and capture the opportunities in the most conscious way.
So speaking of change management, do you think, Anna, that the personal transition that you went through coming to the U.S., particularly after high school, which is an age where it's much harder to make the kind of transition than it probably was for Alex at age 8. Do you think that that personal transition has helped you understand how to manage change and what you now do professionally?
Oh, absolutely. It defined me as a person in a lot of ways. And my kind of leadership philosophy is that of really employing our humility and our growth and kind of checking ourselves as we lead. And so, yes, absolutely. I do feel that leveraging, you know, empathy as organizations move through change at every level of, you know, employees, as well as obviously customers and communities is, you know, essential to sustainable success. Yeah.
And how about you, Alex? Do you find that your personal experiences dealing with the kind of major transition that you went through as a child and with your family has impacted your ability to be successful as an entrepreneur and a business leader?
Yeah, on many different levels, you know, aside from just the economic need, right? As you're growing up, you know, poor and wanting not to be that way when you grow older, certainly has a lot to do with the drive that I had. But beyond that, you know, it's interesting. When we first came to the United States, my grandfather, he was the patriarch of the family. He's the one that was responsible for getting us out. And when we first came to San Francisco, he right away, you know, became the president of the Russian Jewish emigres in San Francisco. You know, took a leadership position there. This is a man that never spoke a word of English, but just was very, very personable. And as a little child, I remember he would always volunteer me to do things for other elderly people, whether it was helping them with groceries or translating something for them or fixing their VCRs or whatever the case may be. And you know, I would always be running around different people's homes, helping them with stuff. And I remember having, and this was not to get paid, just to, you know, help people out of the goodness of my grandfather's heart, out of my heart. And I remember, you know, getting a tremendous feeling as a result of it. It was like, you know, helping others gave me a great feeling. So it was for selfish reasons that I was helping other people, because it made me feel good. And they were kind of like my customers at the time, although, again, I wasn't getting paid for it. They were my customers. And that's the same, you know, customer obsession that I bring today to our customers. I get the same kind of feeling when we really come through.
And how does this customer obsession mindset play into the challenges that you need to overcome as a business leader?
Well, I think the biggest challenge is, as the organization grows, trying to get everybody in the organization to have the same mindset, that customer obsession mindset. You know, I feel like I was almost born with it. I remember feeling it as a little kid, as an 8-year-old kid helping my grandfather. And it comes very naturally to me. And you know, what I took for granted for many years is I thought everybody was that way. And the reality is everybody is not that way. But people in your organization need to be, you know, taught how to customer obsess. And it was only until the last few years that I really realized that not everybody had the same sense of customer obsession as I did.
Right. But it's interesting that people can be taught to have that kind of mindset.
Well, that is absolutely true. As long as they've got the will and they've got the heart to do it, they can certainly be taught. And that's what I try to surround myself with, is individuals that want to learn, that have the passion to be, you know, as Anna said, empathetic, because you really have to be empathetic to your customers in order to really customer obsess over them.
Yeah, absolutely. Which ties very much into the kind of culture that you're creating as a leader.
Yes.
Anna, what's unique about your own experiences that help you guide organizational leaders who face the kinds of challenges that Alex just described?
Yeah, I mean, as Alex was speaking, you know, I was thinking one of the qualities I really do appreciate in him and his team is open-mindedness. And I do think that, at least in part, you know, it does come from this immigrant experience. It is kind of innately entrepreneurial. You know, you're coming someplace, you know, really turning your life upside down. And you're very open to various ways in which people live and succeed and, you know, think about things, which a lot of times is different for whatever cultural upbringing you had back home. And so I actually feel like a lot of the challenges get overcome by being open-minded, which allows for, you know, certain insights from within the organization or from the customer standpoint to get kind of accepted and processed and implemented by the leader. And then there is also the piece about employees, you know, so this open-mindedness is helping a leader understand where some of the hesitation may be coming from within the organization. You know, people do hesitate around change. Buy-in is a tricky thing. You know, it's not something that is just kind of dictated to people. Anyone on the team will only drive your cause if they're really feeling it deep down. And so kind of starting from that open-mindedness, you know, point and working from there and meeting the employee and the customer where they are and then devising the strategy with that in mind, I feel like is something that I've seen to be most successful, you know, across our client engagements. And also, you know, to be honest, this just feels better because you're doing the right thing as a human being. And so it makes your work and everyone else's work around you just more authentic and pleasurable and ultimately more, you know, successful and impactful.
Yeah, absolutely. Alex, what kind of experiences have you had trying to build the kind of culture you desire in your company?
Well, Anna mentioned open-mindedness, which is critical, and then embracing change is the next step, right? You have to be open-minded, but then embrace change, because change is necessary in order to move organizations forward. And a year ago, we had, with the help of Opportunity Lab, we created three guiding principles for our organization. And it was customer obsession, it was passion about profitable growth, and the third one was best professional experience of your life. And we developed these guiding principles, and these sound great. And we started introducing them to the organization. I always said, there's really no priority to these guiding principles. They're all important. But in reality, consciously or subconsciously, I always put customer obsession as first, and passion about profitable growth is probably number two. And then best professional experience of your life. I kind of took that for granted, that everybody in the organization was having the best professional experience of your life. And when we were a smaller organization, for me, it was easy to gauge whether people were having it or not, because direct involvement with pretty much all the employees. Today we've got collectively 100 plus employees. And for me to have my thumb on the pulse is a little bit more difficult. And what I found out is that not everybody was having the best professional experience of their lives. And the epiphany that I had recently in the last few months was that the other two guiding principles, customer obsession, passion about profitable growth, cannot occur unless all the employees are having the best professional experience of their life. So, that's what we're really concentrating on now, is focusing on our people and being, using that term again, empathetic to their needs, and understanding that everybody's a human being and has needs and wants that need to be addressed. And if we can, create that great experience for the people here, they will support that customer obsession and that passion about profitable growth.
Anna, how do you think collaboration and empowerment play into this challenge of trying to provide the best professional experience of the employee's life?
How does it play in? I mean, yeah, it's essential. Like I said, it's very difficult to motivate anyone to do anything to their best and highest level if they're not, fully bought in. And the only way they're fully bought in is if their individual career and personal growth objectives are fully aligned with that of the organization. So what we try to ask is, obviously we're called the Opportunity Lab. We look for an opportunity. And anytime our clients are facing with a challenge, we try to look for an opportunity to kind of grow and improve that experience for both their employees and their customers, and ultimately their communities that they're having an effect on. So, in our work with Alex, the organization has grown so much, and, there's a lot of various aspects of change. And the times when, great kind of growth initiatives were implemented and had really helped the organization take off were those in which we listen very carefully to, everyone within the organization. We've gone as far as doing, like 360 reviews. The leadership team was very receptive to what the employees at every level had to say about their leadership, style and their leadership decisions. And that's a difficult thing to do for leaders at times. But that is what, I think it's not just kind of using some corporate lingo to say, oh, we're about empowering our employees, but actually giving them a voice, both in the way that, HR type initiatives are being run, but also in the actual strategy decisions for the entire company.
Right. So as part of the 360 feedback reviews, are you also having the employees have some input into the strategy decisions for the company?
Yeah. Yeah, so we've definitely designed many questions around things like whether or not they feel that they understand a strategy, what do they feel are the biggest opportunities for the company, you know, maybe there is some misalignment between the strategy that the leadership team is in the process of designing and what they're actually thinking is the best opportunity and the best course of action based on their on the ground knowledge of what their customers are looking for or the feedback they're getting, you know, especially sales teams or customer support teams that have that kind of day-to-day contact with the customer and get some feedback. So, yep.
And Alex, as the company's owner, how does it feel to be asking for this kind of input from all the employees?
Well, initially when and we were one of the companies and I was one of the leaders that had a 360 review done on him. And, you know, I didn't know what I was getting myself into, you know. Opportunity Lab suggested that it be done for me and for my business partner and our COO. And, you know, my thought was, well, you know, those other two guys really, really need this. So I'll, you know, I'll encourage us doing this 360 and I'll step up and do it for myself too, just as an example. But there's really nothing wrong with the way I operate. Well, little did I know that there was so much that I needed to improve upon it was really eye-opening for me. And I think right after that 360 review, my entire thought process on people and on about myself and about the businesses shifted. And it shifted because I was really a strong advocate for customers, but I was really not looking out for the people in the business. And, you know, that 360 review really revealed that. And when my mindset shifted and my focus shifted on the employees, miraculously, productivity improved, profitability improved, people were just much happier. I mean, it was just mind-blowing the changes that occurred in our business. So, yeah, it was very, very powerful.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that experience. I think it's one that a lot of people could learn from. So, so thank you. And Anna, listening to Alex's reaction, as the person who's the outside advisor in this exercise, mm-hmm. What's your perspective and your takeaway from what you've observed?
So, yeah, I think kind of a great respect for Alex and his team in this, in being open. You know, this exercise accomplished exactly what we hoped it would accomplish. And it doesn't, you know, it does happen at times that there is, you know, there's constructive feedback, upward feedback that's being given to a leader within the company. And then, you know, most of us kind of in the initial human knee-jerk reaction is to get defensive or, you know, to kind of find excuses or think, well, you know, they misunderstand me or, you know, they're really thinking about something else, you know, things like that. And to really take a step back and kind of stay open-minded and really looking for a learning opportunity here is something that, you know, we appreciate, you know, beyond words and the client, because ultimately it's not about, you know, an ego. It's about getting the business to a place where it's most, you know, profitable and also most, you know, impactful across the board of customers and employees and the owner. So I think seeing that full cycle and being open to it is something that is, you know, quite remarkable from as far as what I can say as a consultant working with someone within the company.
Now, I want to thank you both for actually sharing the story and talking about your experiences dealing with this kind of change, which I'm sure wasn't easy, and also the emotions that go along with it from both of your perspectives.
Yeah, thank you so much, David. And I was just real quickly remembering the one comment that stood out from that 360 review for me. And one of the employees said that I intimidated rather than inspired. And that was like kind of like a dagger in the heart. And that's what really made me refocus my efforts on people rather than on you know, myself. So,
yeah, I'm sure that was not easy to listen to.
No, not at all.
So I wondered if we could actually take an opportunity now to focus on somebody else. And if each of you could mention somebody you know personally who has done a really remarkable job of smashing the plateau. And Alex, why don't you start?
Yeah, I mean, the person that came to my mind immediately was one of my employees here, a guy named Nick Abbott. Nick is somebody that I hired, I think, when he was 18 years old. And he was working at the local racetrack, you know, helping little kids race around a speedway. And I took him from there and gave him an opportunity to be my driver. This was back in 2004. And this is somebody with, you know, barely a high school education, but extremely, extremely smart and somebody with a lot of passion and wanted to get ahead in life. And today, Nick is an inside sales manager, managing a team of five people, I believe, and really well respected here, a well respected manager, a very well respected leader in the business. And a lot of what he learned, you know, through practice. But however, at one point, he realized that he needed some help, that he hit a wall. And, you know, he wasn't progressing as quickly as he needed to. And he decided to do, based on recommendation, again, from the Opportunity Lab, he went on a program of mentoring and coaching with a resource that Anna and Mark Monchuk from the Opportunity Lab suggested. And through this coaching, again, just had a transformational results in Nick and the way he thinks and the way he operates. So just that drive to embrace change, be open-minded and embrace change has really allowed Nick to transform into a tremendous leader. So kudos to him for sure.
What a great example. And Anna, how about you?
This is a tough question. There's so many people that I find inspiring. I'll probably go in the other direction and I'll use my grandmother. So she was born in a small town in Russia in 1920. And she, you know, I essentially grew up with her. My mom was a single mom, so I spent a lot of time with my grandma, you know, before and after school. And she was also a single mom. And when she was 20, she was in school. She quit, you know, the World War II started, and she actually volunteered to go fight in the war. They weren't really taking women, you know, as a part of general draft, but I think the forces were kind of desperate enough to take her in. And without any training at 20 years old, she went and fought, got a couple of, you know, recognition and medals as a result of that. And she then proceeded to become the first woman principal of a school in that district she was living in, which was also a big accomplishment in those days. And, you know, while raising my mom and living in the school building, she kind of had this amazing career as a school principal and had put in a lot of changes into the school system. It was tricky. She was teaching history. And this is, you know, we're talking through from 1940s to probably like 1980s in Russia or in the Soviet Union. So history lessons were kind of tricky because the textbooks and history, quote unquote, just kept changing based on, you know, what government was in power at that point. So she just managed to kind of be this very fearless, dedicated, you know, feminist in that particular time and place, which I find to be, you know, completely remarkable. And so she has had a lot of an effect on, you know, all of the generations that followed her, including my young daughters that are living here in the States now. So I think my takeaway from that is that regardless of the circumstance, there's always room for that kind of inspiring, fearless, and dedicated way of living.
Absolutely. Somebody really to look up to. So thank you for sharing that example. What can we look forward to in the near future from both of you? Alex, why don't you start?
Well, we're in a continued growth path at the All Industrial Electric Supply. Lots of construction still going on in the Bay Area, and we actually do business all across the country. So we look for continued growth, and probably through acquisition as well. So we are always out there looking for opportunities and to bring new businesses under the Felsberg Enterprise umbrella. So.
Sounds great. And Alex, how can listeners learn more about you and follow you?
Well, our website, www.aies.com. And anybody can always call me or email me. All my information is on the website.
Sounds great. And Anna, what's coming up for you in the near future?
Yeah, I mean, at the Opportunity Lab, we're always, you know, excited to connect with like-minded people, you know, be it to collaborate or as a client. We're at www.oplab.com. That's OPPLAB. You can, you know, our bios are on there, so feel free to contact me. And also, I am teaching a course at NYU in June of this year. It is offered through the NYU School of Professional Studies, and it's called Unlock Your Network, Resource Mapping for Social Change.
Sounds great. Well, Alex and Anna, thank you so much for taking the time to join us together on Smashing the Plateau. This adds a different dimension to a podcast episode than having just one guest. And I really appreciate that both of you scheduled time to do this together. It really made for a deep discussion about some of the major challenges of building and running a growing business. I really want to thank you both. My guests today have been Alex Vaisberg, President and CEO of All Industrial Electric Supply, and Anna Sturitsina, Chief Strategy Officer of the Opportunity Lab. Thank you again, Alex and Anna, for joining us.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, David.
I'm David Schreiner-Kahn. Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau. The mission of Smashing the Plateau is helping solopreneur experts build more stable and consistent revenue in their business. Smashing the Plateau is part of the Best Network, providing expert individual and team mentorship, peer support, and curated educational content that reinforces and expands our goal of the show, helping solopreneur experts get the recurring revenue they deserve. To learn more about us and Best Network and schedule time to speak with me about how to smash your plateau, go to smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. That's smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. We want to help you smash your plateau.